You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I'm Kim, and I'm joined with only one of my book besties today, Anna.
I know, that was so weird. I was waiting for you to say Anna and Christina.
Hello, ladies. But it's just aww. Anna. So Christina went back to work this week, and she is just prioritizing hanging out with her little babe and resting, which we totally understand, but we wanted to get this out for y'all. So we are doing Queen of Myth and Monsters, which is the second book by Scarlett St. Clair in her Adrienne and Isolde series. Yes. I guess, is that what she's calling it? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's Queen of Myth and Monsters. We wanted to get this out before our year like ramps up and we forget. And because let's be honest, we would forget pretty quickly.
There wasn't much that happened in this book to be
right.
It's very much middle book syndrome.
Totally. Question for you. Do you like this better or worse than Blood and Honey from the Serpent and Dove series?
Oh my God. That's so funny you bring that up because I actually thought about that book when I was reading this one.
Yeah.
That's a really tricky question because so Blood and Honey, without giving spoilers or anything, I think I was yelling more at the book. Like I was frustrated.
Yeah.
However,
it wasn't fun to read.
It wasn't very fun to read, but I found the dialogue and the characters more, I guess, compelling.
Agreed.
And especially like the final culmination of like that book.
Yeah.
And this and Queen of Myth and Monsters I found to be easier to get through, but I'm more frustrated now that it's over. It's like I wasn't as frustrated while I read it. I was more like laughing at the absurdity. And then Blood and Honey, I was angry while I was reading it. But then after I was done, I was like, okay, I got what I needed out of it to move on to book three. And this one, I'm like, what the hell?
Well, and it's funny because we literally felt this exact same way after King of Battle and Blood.
Yes.
Well, we were reading it. It was fine. It was good. We were like moving through it. And then when we started to record and like talk about it, we were like, okay, wait, we have so many questions. Like none of this makes sense. So I feel like we're back in the same spot. It was so funny. Listeners, we were texting Christina and she was like, okay, so like, did we get any answers to all of our questions from book one? And I was like, Anna, did we? I don't remember. And
you're like, I don't remember.
Kind of. I mean,
I think so.
We did, but now we have more questions.
More questions. Yeah.
So that's kind of
like a J-Law. It's a little bit like a J-Law where you're like, you read it, you get some answers, but then the more you think about it, you're like, wait, hold on.
Yeah. And we tried really hard to like suspend. I mean, this is the most pretty open-minded I could possibly be about a fantasy book. I enjoyed it more than From Blood and Ash, just me personally. If you guys know, I just struggle with J-Law's like writing style and all that kind of stuff. So, but now that I'm, you know, taking a step back from it, I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I don't understand. We'll get into it. We're definitely going to read the third book because I need to know what happens.
And here's the thing. It's under 400 pages.
Correct.
So it makes it almost as like, I only have to like, it did take me a week to get through the 350 pages, which normally I could do that literally in one night.
Yeah.
But
so that says something. Anna is a super fast reader. So
yeah, it took me a while to get through this. Mm-hmm. But because it's only 350 pages, I am very willing to read the next book because I assume it's also going to be like that. If this was 600 pages and I was this frustrated at the end,
right,
that's kind of, I'd be like, no, I'm done. Like, I can't keep wasting 600 pages of my life on a book that I'm like, confused about.
And exactly. Like, it's short, so it's not a huge time commitment on our part. And so, and obviously the way these books end, like, you want to know what happens.
Yeah.
But it does, like, we definitely had some frustrations. Like Anna said, this definitely is a very stereotypical middle book where she's clearly just setting up for the third. So those are kind of our non-spoilery thoughts.
Yes.
If you, for some reason, are listening to this and have not read the book, and maybe you just want to know what we think, which is totally fine. But from here on out, spoiler warnings, we will be discussing everything that happens
everything
in this book.
Everything. King of Battle and Blood, Queen of Myth and Monsters. All the confusing things
and just lots of fighting. And so, okay. Let's do like a where we left off and kind of a reminder of like what is the world like.
Yes.
Because I mean, I will say I got confused again because it's been a while since we've read the first one. And I forgot about what is the country's names? Like what are the nine houses? Like I don't really.
So where we are is I don't actually know the name of the continent, or I can't remember the name of the continent if they ever say it.
Oh, so it's not Cordova.
Oh, is it Cordova? Oh, it is. Yes, it's right here. Yep, you're right. Wow.
Is that the name of it?
It's on the map. It says Cordova.
Well, I mean,
Okay, so Cordova is the name of, like, I guess the continent is how I'm going to look at it geographically.
Sure, right.
And then the vampires, where Isolde and Adrian are, is Rebecca, the country. And they live in the Red Palace at the Celserade, I don't know how we say that.
Yeah.
And that's their, like, main city, the capital. Then you have the Nine Realms, which is basically I'm guessing like every country is like named after maybe like the founder of that house or something is kind of what I'm gathering based on like names and stuff.
Got it.
It's never explicitly stated, but that's kind of what I was picking up on.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go through all those, but there's nine.
It doesn't matter.
They
don't really get explained very well anyways.
They don't get explained very well. The important one is Lara, which is where Isolde originally came from.
Right.
And her father at the end of the first book, her father comes to Rebecca where she's married Adrian, and remember her whole thing was like she was supposed to kill Adrian and she doesn't, and her father realizes that the only way to kill Adrian is to kill his daughter.
Yep.
And which sets off like a traumatic line of events where Isolde ends up having to kill her father.
Yeah.
So the book basically picks up right at the end of book one. Like book two picks up right after the events of book one.
Yeah.
And Lara.
I know because of
Bridge Kingdom.
The Bridge Kingdom. I know. It's so
confusing. Isolde is distraught. Yes. She had to commit patricide to save her life and Adrian. She also allowed Adrian to feed from her at the end of the book, which broke the curse. And we find out that she is Yesenia or a reincarnated version of Yesenia and has like the blood of witches or she's a witch. And that part of the curse that like the deal that Adrian made with the goddess Dis was that if he became like her pawn on Earth or on Cordova, that if Yesenia was reincarnated, she would be his downfall, or not his downfall, sorry, his weakness, that if she dies, he dies.
Uh-huh.
And so that's kind of where we leave off.
Yeah. Yeah.
The book opens with our hero and heroine. They're really not heroes. He's really not a hero.
No, that is an interesting point because I think Scarlett has talked about how she specifically wrote Adrian and maybe Isolde to be like morally gray.
Very much so.
They are almost straight up villains. Like it's...
Yeah.
It's morally grayish black.
We're really like... We're getting to like very dark charcoal gray areas.
Yes. Yeah. Like a really dark... gray. And it was interesting to read on the one hand because we typically don't have that in a fantasy. Like it's they're fighting the villains. But now in this book, it felt like they were the villain.
It really does. And we talk about that in our first episode. We talk about this like need to conquer and it's like, what if these people, I mean, I understand that yes, there are issues. These are bad countries, but, or there's some of them are, but the way that it's talked about, it it's not, and this is part of the writing. This is, like, for me, the writing.
Yes, agreed.
I wanted her to explain more on the reasonings that we were conquering, except for, it seemed to be conquering for conquering's sake. And I know that at the end, literally the line is, Isolde finds out that, like, you know, Dis is kind of controlling all of this. And she, you know, has kind of, which we find out later in this book, has, like, basically almost full control of Adrian towards the end.
Right.
But she asks him, so why do you conquer? And he says, like, I conquer for Dis. Oh, God, I hate her name.
I hate that name.
I conquer for Dis. So as the reader, I think we're supposed to just take that at face value that Dis is a goddess who's, like, power hungry.
Yeah, but, like, but why? But
it's not interesting. Like, but why? Like, I need more.
We don't know her. Like, I don't. Why is she wanting to conquer? What happened to make her want to conquer?
Yeah. It's not interesting to read. It's, like, very... I'm just going to say this is the reason and you just have to go with me on this. But it's like, okay, but if you're gonna, there's so many... I can suspend my belief with certain things, but you got to give me a little bit more to work
with. Well, it's very tell, not show. Like, I want you to show me something through the story instead of just being like, well, Dis wants to conquer. Okay, why? She's a goddess. Like, I don't understand. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And it was super, I don't know. It was just, I really didn't like when they, like, killed all those people in the town because they saw Adrian use, like, his mind control. Like,
when they're like, we can't let them live.
And I'm like, okay, I just can't get down with killing women and children. Or I don't really want them to kill the men. Yeah, like, children? No. So sorry, can't get on board with that. I don't like that. You did not give me a good enough reason.
Yeah.
To, like, why is that such a big deal? He can mind control people. I don't understand.
We've read morally gray characters, or we've read characters who are complex and have, you know, do things that are questionable. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, there's a reason behind it, or at least there's some remorse later on, or a conflicted feeling, like you see them, and you don't see that with Adrian. He never seems conflicted with his choices.
Uh-uh.
And I know that at the end of the book, I mean, we're skipping, but, like, we're already there. Like we're already talking about it, so let's just get into it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I know Dis, we find out at the end, basically can take full control of his body. Right. And I don't know that she's done that prior, but what everybody keeps telling Isolde is that he's turning into a monster. Do not see the monster he's becoming. And they keep saying that to her. And then she sees it firsthand later in the war tent, which we'll get to that later. But when he, like, fully attacks her. But what we're missing as a reader are these, like, are seeing those more of those hints and nuggets. All of a sudden it was like she tagged it on in the last 60 pages.
Agreed.
That, okay, Dis is taking over his body and that's why he's been so awful.
Yeah.
But I think, like, even if she had said something like the whites of his irises enlarge, like, if she said that a few more times rather than just in the last 100 pages.
Agreed.
Because I looked today while I was making this, I was like, okay, wait, am I missing it? Were there more clues?
No.
And I searched in my Kindle for, like, those keywords. And I was like, no, she really gives you no inclination. The headaches don't start until right at, like, before, like, right when Soren betrays her. That's when the headaches start.
That's, like, almost the end of the book.
Yeah.
There's no buildup. There's no clues being dropped. Like, she just all of a sudden is like, oh, he's a monster. And she's finding all of this out also towards the end of the book.
Yeah.
She finds out she wrote the book of spells for Adrian.
I think it's called the Book of Dis, right?
Is it called the Book of Dis?
Oh, shit. I thought it was. Hold on. Is it Book of Death or Book of Dis? Book of something.
It's the Book of... I don't know. It reminded me of Hocus Pocus, honestly. The book with the eye.
Book of Dis. It's called the Book of Dis.
Okay, why?
Because at the end, she writes it because Dis inspired her to write it. We find out that... Remember, she was actually... The Yesenia...
Mm-hmm.
Yesenia was actually Dis's first choice. Like, was working through Yesenia.
Over Adrian?
Yeah, it says at the very end.
I do not remember this. What?
She says...
I do not remember that at all.
Yeah, she says, before Adrian was chosen as Dis's incarnate, she had chosen you. She fed these spells to you. You were to bring balance to the world. But of course, men got in the way.
Okay.
Kim. I know, this is how I felt making the outline. I was like, what?
This is
new information.
Okay. So she's saying to bring balance to the world is supposedly what Adrian is doing, right? Let's put two and two together.
Well, I don't know what her purpose is with Adrian. Adrian, I feel like, is something that got away from her, if I'm being quite honest.
So she wanted Yesenia to bring back, how is Yesenia bringing balance to the...
That's not explained.
Okay, cool.
That's not explained. All it says is you were to bring balance to the world, but of course men got in the way. Then Isolde says, Dis hates me. Anna says, she hates you because she loves Adrian.
What?
And then she says, like, she allowed you to be reincarnated to, like, please him, to keep Adrian on her side. That is why she takes control of him, to remind him that he is her pawn.
Why would, none of this makes sense to me.
So, I mean, I know we're skipping ahead, listeners.
Sorry, but this is not going to be as structured as our usual episode.
Because honestly, this book kind of threw us for a loop.
It did.
Earlier on at the end of the book, when we find out the big reveal that mm-hmm. Anna has been pretending to be Ravenna, which, listeners, if anybody else has a different take on this, please feel free to reach
out
to us.
Please explain it to us. Please explain it to us.
Because
we don't know.
When she goes through the mirror and she sees Anna there, I was so confused. Now, going back, and is Ravenna actually alive? And is Anna her? Reincarnated, or I don't understand.
Was Anna pretending to be Ravenna? And if so, is That's she working with Ravenna?
So here's the thing, reading this today, I don't actually think Ravenna's alive. I feel what, like Anna was
ever alive. She was her the whole time.
No. I think she was like a real person.
Well, right. I'm saying, but like, she didn't make it to this day and age.
I don't understand how she. So when she goes through the mirror and she sees Anna, mm-hmm. she says, I have been trying to help you. I have warned you about Adrian. I've told you that we are fighting for the same purpose. And she says, you keep saying that and you keep killing my people. And Anna cuts her off and she says, men, I am killing men. And then Isolde's like, Ivka was not a man. Girl, I did not know who Ivka was. I was like, who is this person?
I had to look this up before recording because I was like, I can promise you right now I don't know who that is. And Anna was like, oh, it's the owl that was mentioned like twice entire book. And yet we're
Isolde
rehashing
it. Super attached to
She's
her.
She's like, why did Ivka have to die? Like, why do you care?
You don't even know you don't care about conquering all these people.
No.
You care about the owl. Oh my God.
God.
And Ravenna's like, it was an unfortunate sacrifice. So here's the thing. So she goes back and forth between referring to her as Ravenna and then referring to her. So like here, Scarlett, the author, writes, Ravenna smiled, but it was sad. An unfortunate sacrifice. I did not wish to see her die, but she would have distracted you.
How?
And then she continues, you did not incarnate in this life to be Isolde of Lara. You incarnated to seek revenge as Yesenia of Arith. And that revenge must be against men. They hurt you. And it's...
What? I don't understand that.
It's like, I understand that like men burned her at the stake and the big burning was like obviously terrible. We obviously hate that.
Yeah, obviously that's awful.
Like, I don't understand why 200 years later...
I don't know.
You know, it's like the sons paying for the sins of their father. Like, I understand that there's a lot of men in this world that suck, but
obviously there is. But like, Adrian also was trying to save her, and like, is Anna's cousin? And I'm like, I don't understand. And also, stop referring to her as either Ravenna or Anna and pick one and tell us which one that she is.
Yeah, she just refers to her as Ravenna. She calls Ravenna, and then 2 pages later she says, I wanted you to remember me, Anna said. And I'm like, but which one are you?
Do you want her to remember you as Ravenna or who are you? What are you
like
doing?
Why didn't she remember you? Like,
yes!
I'm confused.
She did. That was the
she
whole
thing.
She
said, I wanted
you
to remember me so badly, but when you didn't, I knew I would be on my own. What?
She did remember
this
you,
is
Anna.
I'm just so confused. I'm so confused.
Listeners, if you read the end of this book and you understood it, give us a shout in our DMs because we don't understand. And I think we're fairly intelligent women. And
I feel like we're pretty intelligent.
I feel like we're pretty intelligent. College educated. And I don't understand. Well, first of all, okay, let's go back and just say, I think the other reason that we got frustrated is because nothing happens the first 70% of this book except them fighting and fucking and fighting and fucking.
It is a volleyball. It's a tennis match where you're just going like back and forth with your head and you're like, what is happening?
It's so toxic.
And so much could have been explained. Like, I don't understand why we couldn't have like added some more depth and plot development, because really there could have been. I could like think of a few little instances that you could have expanded upon, you know? I mean, I would have learned, I'd love to have seen a little bit more at the secret library and learning maybe some like more history about the original Yesenia or maybe see some hints there about Anna and how she's tied into this, because I mean, it's very confusing. And then like within the, we've already mentioned with Adrian, it would have been really nice to see him struggle a bit more with this, like somebody invading his mind and his space. And we've seen authors do that, and we know it can be done.
It can.
Like, thinking of a specific book, which we won't say.
Yep. Yes. But, yes. You know,
it was very frustrating. But going back to, like, let's go back and talk about. Let's go back to the beginning a bit more, and let's break down some of the characters.
Let's take it back.
So let's talk about Isolde a little bit.
Yeah. She's not in a good place.
No.
At the beginning of this book. Or at the end. But, throughout.
One could argue she has a rough go.
Yeah. This book is rough for her specifically.
Yeah.
She was interesting because she became very violent and just, I don't think it worked to have both of them be morally gray. I think she needed to pick one of them and the other one needed to like struggle.
Yeah.
Isolde kind of struggles a little bit, but she's like, whose head did you bring me? Like, who did you bring me? She seems like totally okay with this like bloodthirsty, conquering, violent killing of innocent people. I mean, some of them are innocent, but.
Yeah, and it's different from her beginning of, I mean, she's always been like a fighter and kind of, she's always been a little bloodthirsty.
Yeah.
But there was something about her in book one that endeared you a bit. And even with Adrian, I had a really hard time connecting with them. And I even,
agreed.
I mean, Kim, you know this. I went back and I reread the last, I don't know, like 75 pages of book one.
Yeah.
Even though I was like six chapters into this new book,
mm-hmm.
It helped me at first. I was like, okay, I reconnected with Adrian and Isolde. They had these beautiful moments at the end of book one. I felt like, okay, I understand them now. And then I started reading again and it was so different because like the Adrian and Isolde in book one, yes, there was like arguments and stuff and yes, there was sex, but it felt very like they talked a bit more to each other and like gave each other a bit more grace and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw the love eventually when she has her memories, like the deep, deep love and bond that they have. And it's actually, there's some beautiful lines.
Yeah.
But then in this book, it was so much arguing and tit for tat and nitpicking little things.
Mm-hmm. What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And then all of a sudden, like, you're angry, and a page later, she's like, I want you.
Get inside
me.
Like,
Make love to me. And it's like, what? What? Were we just, like, arguing? And I understand, like, hate sex, makeup sex, but, like, it wasn't.
But it was. It happened all the time.
All the time.
And they were saying things that were, like, very hurtful towards each other. Not just, like, fight, like, have it, like, bickering. They were, like, saying hurtful things to each other, and then they would just have sex. And I'm like, okay, no, we need to communicate. Okay. And it just seemed like they didn't know each other. They didn't understand each other. They didn't trust each other. Like they were constantly purposely misunderstanding each other to the point where I'm like, I mean, I know Isolde is not Yesenia, but like she remembers enough to remember Adrian and know that she loved him.
Yeah.
And now it just seems like they're complete strangers. It was constantly like, well, how dare you do this? And he's like, why would you assume that I did this? Why wouldn't you assume that I did, you know, that I.
I know. She's like, why didn't you stop the pleasure house? And he's like, well, why did you automatically think that I didn't try?
Yeah.
It's just, it's like for two people who have, who seemingly, and who say that they have such a deep love for each other, and who he literally sacrificed his like soul basically to a goddess to resurrect Yesenia.
Yeah.
They don't seem to give each other a lot of grace or understanding or the benefit of the doubt.
No.
I guess.
No benefits.
It's just interesting because like, I don't know. It got exhausting to read because you're just like, okay, we're fighting again.
And we're having sex. Okay, cool.
Okay, and Isolde, I just wish we had also spent a little bit more time on her struggling with the fact that she was resurrected.
Agreed.
You know, I mean, initially I was like, okay, she has like a line at the very, like page 3 of the book. She says, I had no conflict over my two lives. Yesenia was of the past, a life once lived. Now I was Isolde Vasilyev. Queen of Rebecca, future Queen of Cordova, and I was here to conquer. And at first I was like, okay, we're just going to touch on this really quick. And she's making the decision to like be herself or be her current self with the memories of the past. Yes. I was like, okay, I can deal with this. That's fine.
Yes.
It's a 350-page book. Mm-hmm. But then the whole middle part of the book was so a bunch of nothing.
Nothing.
That I was like, okay, we could have fed that. We could have added a little bit more inner conflict or...
Yes.
Like she gets really mad at him or she gets upset with him because she's like, how do I know that you actually appreciate me and you don't wish that I was Yesenia? But it kind of comes out of nowhere because he literally gives her... I mean, he seems to... He's not giving her really a reason to doubt
him. To like ask that specifically.
Yeah.
It seems like Scarlett knew she needed to throw that in there because that is a valid question. Like, does he really just love the part of her that's Yesenia or does he really love her for her?
Yeah.
But I'm like, that needed to come out of a deeper conversation, a deeper argument that needed to be better fleshed out because she literally did just say it out of nowhere. And he was like, what are you talking about? Like, yes, I love you. But it wasn't enough. And to me, it felt like a cop out because she didn't want to have to put that into the story. Isolde constantly struggling with that, but I think that would have been a far more interesting book for her to be struggling with. I'm two people, I have the memories of two people, but I'm this person now, but I was a witch in a past life, I had a high coven, I had sisters that I loved. That's like never brought up again. She never thinks about the coven. She never is like, I miss them.
Yeah.
There's none of that. And I'm like, to me...
And if it is brought up, it's a very passing, a throwaway statement. Mm-hmm. You know, like at the cottage, like when they're at the cottage, that's like one of the only times she feels that. And I agree, Kim. Like, I would have loved to have seen a little bit more of Yesenia coming into Isolde. Because I also feel like at least the Yesenia that we see in the past seems to have a much kinder soul or heart or is just a bit softer.
She did seem and softer.
It would have been nice to kind of maybe see her starting to bleed into Isolde. Mm-hmm. And maybe it then, I actually think it would have been a little bit, and maybe this will happen in book three. Maybe this will happen in book three. Mm. But it would give Isolde almost like, look, it would allow her to see Adrian through different eyes. Because if she had some of the memories of Yesenia, the Adrian apparently that was back then is very different than the Adrian that is today or in this current book. Does that make sense? Like,
yes, it does.
The Adrian that was with Yesenia seemed softer too. Like Anna and Soren and Darek all say that. And he's turned into this monster because of Dis. And it kind of like, I feel like that would have been way more interesting to see Isolde start to feel conflicted about the Adrian she was seeing and like reconciling the two in her brain. Yes,
totally.
Scarlett, if you need some notes.
Scarlett, listen, we're here and we're happy to give notes because we have some great ideas. And I just think there was a great opportunity there for some great inner turmoil. And then like, she's like, Adrian doesn't know how to help her. And so there's distance between them because of that.
That would have been interesting.
Would have been interesting. They're just picking fights with each. I'm like, do y'all just get off on this? Like, do you just get off on fighting? Because it's truly like they're fighting over nothing. The stupidest shit that does not matter. And then she's like, fuck me. And I'm like, okay, listen. There's a quote at the end that she's like, I shouldn't want to have sex right now, but it was how I made sense of my world. And I'm like,
yes. Oh, I read. Yes. I know exactly what line you're talking about.
I don't agree. Okay.
It was how I can. Yeah. Like how I got consoled myself or something.
Or like how I made sense of things. I'm like, how does that help make sense out of anything? Like that literally accomplishes nothing but like getting you off, which like go girl. But
wait, okay. Speaking of getting her off. When she becomes an off-hawker.
No, okay, I hate it.
I cannot say this. It's off-hawker. And I'm going to tell you right now, every time I read it, I said, aw, fucker.
Aw, fucker.
Aw, fucker.
But I did look it up, and that is a real German mythical creature called an off-hawker. And it appears as like a wolf dog, but it can also appear as other things, which is I think where she's going with this. I think she's going to have her not be a dog and like learn how to appear in different forms.
Ooh, that'll be her vampire special trait.
Yes, that's going to be her vampire trait.
Good catch, Kim.
Because when I was reading it, it was like it can appear as like, we all said like, I think it was like a goblin or something, or like it can appear as like a spirit. So I'm like, okay, she's okay, she did her homework, at least on this.
She did her homework. Like, well, she has some of the German, in the first book, there was something that we looked up that was like a German term where they would bury women or the dead a lot. They thought that people were dead and they would bury them and then they would end up crawling out of the graves. It was like in German. It was a German, I know. It was like it was a term that she used in the first book for like these creatures that attacked. I can't remember what they were called.
I vaguely remember that. I vaguely. Okay, but y'all, the scene where she turns into an off-walker, I don't like it. It was so...
I thought he turned her.
Me too!
I thought he accidentally turned her. Yeah, because like, he was sucking... so careless.
And he was, like, sucking on her wrist and, like, spitting it out and sucking on her... I was like, oh, okay. Like,
I was like, ew, this is so gross.
This is so
like,
gross. And then she, like, wakes up and she's, like, hot and horny and, like, grinds on him and then crawls and then just outside.
Like, I'm just picturing, like almost like an SNL moment where she's, like, sweating and, like, I can't be inside. Like, yes! A Will Ferrell. Like, yes! And then she's, like, running to the lake.
But they're both naked. Keep in mind, they are running through this castle. They're both naked. And everyone's just running, staring at them. And they're both running. And she like falls on, jumps in this
pool.
There
is nothing funnier than a naked man running.
I truly?
Truly.
Nothing. Like,
it's so funny.
It's so funny. And I'm like.
And not sexy.
Could we have written a line where at least Adrian throws some boxers
just
on?
Just gonna grab a rope.
Just something. Grab I don't care rope. If it's a towel. Wrap it around. Nobody wants to see that middle section flopping around. Okay?
Oh
nobody.
My God.
And like they're just sweaty and they just had sex. So then she like falls into the pool and the first thing he says is like, oh, what a beautiful creature you are. No, it's not beautiful. If you look it up, it's like the Grimm from Harry Potter.
That's
it's like
what
serious.
I'm thinking too. It's like
it's not beautiful. I'm sorry, it's not beautiful. It's not. And he's like, the first thing he says is, oh, what a beautiful creature you are. And she's like, what the fuck, man? Like I just got turned into a dog. And you're like, oh, gorgeous, stunning, love it.
This is a great look for you.
I know. Yeah. Loving this on you. Like, no wonder she's mad. She's like, I'm freaking out about it. And you're just like, ooh, you're hot. Y'all, I cannot get over just the horniness for each other constantly. It's too much. It's too much.
Oh my God. It's so funny. Okay. Let's move on. There are two sweet moments that I wanted to talk about between them.
Yes.
The first one being the cottage.
Oh, that was sweet.
I really liked that scene. And I wanted more of that.
Me too. We needed more of that.
We needed more of that.
That was really sweet.
I know. So he takes her there. Why does he take her there again? To show her the gravesite.
Yes, where the High Coven's bones were buried. And Julian, I think, took them or something.
Yeah. Anna.
Oh, sorry. Anna Ravenna. Whoever she is.
Whatever. That's her name from now on. Ravenna.
Anna Ravenna.
And it was just, and it was so sweet because like she shows up and she's like, you know, why did you choose this place to bury me? And she doesn't remember that that's where the cottage was, where they spent their last night together.
Oh.
He says, because when I am here, I remember our final night together. He said, holding my face between his hands, thumbs brushing away my tears. Do you remember the details of that night? And like, it starts to slowly come back to her. And this part really actually got me. Like, this kind of moved me a little bit. You know, he's telling her, he's like helping her remember. He says, you wanted a quiet life with me at the base of this mountain. We would have had a farm and you would teach magic the way it was meant to be taught. And then he like pauses and he says, you named our children, he said, and the silence that followed his statement shattered my heart. They were the children we would never have. What were their names? I whispered. I knew he remembered, knew he clung to the memory of them, though they never existed. Cora for a girl, he said, and I swallowed something sharp and jagged in my throat, only to have it land uneasily in my stomach. And it was like, I think it was her mother's name.
Yes, it was her mother's name.
And then she starts to remember and she says, Alec for a boy after you.
Yeah.
And a ghost of a smile touched his lips, but could not dim the pain in his eyes. And after a moment, he spoke, I am sorry I could not give you what you wanted.
Aww.
It's like so sweet. And she says, Adrian, you are what I want. That was a really sweet moment.
We needed
and it
more
felt,
of that.
Yeah. And it felt like I needed like little pieces of that later on in the book. I mean, we get when he takes her to see the sunshine and he's like, I saw you like when after she dances with Killian and he gets jealous. And
yes.
He's like, I want to be the reason for that smile to be on your face. And he like takes her to see the sun.
So sweet.
And that was really sweet too. But those two things were so short in the grand scheme of things. But it was just a really nice moment. And I will say that the sex scene here worked.
Agreed. It was very sweet.
It was them connecting on a happiness that they remember, but also on like the grief and grieving the life that they will never have.
Agreed.
And it was like the closest you can be with somebody and, you know, just, you know, having.
I totally agree. It,
yeah.
It worked. It served a purpose.
Yes.
It was an intimate, sweet moment between them. It wasn't used to just like stop an argument or to stop talking or to just stop listening to each other.
Like sex for sex's sake. It was.
Yeah, it was. It, yeah. And I really loved that. And I really wish we would have seen more of that, of him trying to remind her of her life as with him as Yesenia. And I think that that would have endeared us to the both of them a little bit more, but definitely Adrian.
Yeah.
Because Adrian by the end is, he's not even like a like he's just kind of a, I don't know. And I think that would have, I just felt like he wasn't well fleshed out in this book. I couldn't connect with him. I had a hard time connecting with both of them really, but obviously we're in Isolde's head. Like we're, you know, it's kind of from her mostly POV. And Adrian's POV is literally just like, he's horny for her. That's it.
I like, we barely get his POVs.
We do. Yeah, barely. But there wasn't anything there. There was nothing there. There was no substance to it. It was just like, I want to fuck her. Oh, she's
And initially we were like learning things like the fact that he can control vampires, which was like,
oh, that was,
that was a,
that was heavenly, a heavenly fire, fire moment.
Yep. You know,
that was like, we have never heard that ever.
No.
That has never gotten brought up.
No.
And now all of a sudden he's like, oh, any vampire I turn, I can control their minds.
And there was all these, like when he was like walking through the woods, there was like, he was hearing all the whispers of like death and stuff. And I kept saying, oh, what's this? Like, is this going to come back later? Nope.
Certainly does not.
That's it.
That's it.
Certainly does not.
That's all you get.
That's all we got with that.
What was the other? This is a sweet quote.
Yeah, I really like this quote. This is actually, this was a, one of their, it wasn't really an argument, but it was when she was like, how do I know that you don't love Yesenia? And like, how do I know that you actually want me? And he's like, how can I show you? And she says, you can't, you just have to like, allow me to have my feelings. And he says, well, what can I say? And she says, words do not heal trauma. Then he says, then tell me how I heal this. And she says, you don't, you love me through the fear, even when my doubt hurts, and I will do the same for you.
That's a great line. That's a great line.
Yeah, it's a great line. I really liked that, which is just your universal, like, you love me through the fear.
Yes.
That's what partners do.
Yes, I love that. You love me through the fear, even when my doubt hurts, and I will do the same. I love that. And so it's like, okay, see, we can do this. This is good stuff. We need more of this.
Oh, there was one other quote, just kind of while we were on like that subject, that Anna says. They had just finished arguing, of course.
Of course.
Isolde's by herself, and she's like, I'm just tired. I'm tired of, she says, I'm tired. I think she's saying like, I'm tired of the arguing or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, We all are, Isolde.
And she says, you do not have to have lived 100 years or even 20. If your soul is tired, you will be tired.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that kind of stuck with me. It's like, just
really sweet.
You know, it's everyone's trauma is their own trauma, and one person's trauma is not greater than another's. There can be like, absolutely, there are degrees of trauma that people can go through.
Course.
But however, how that person experiences it might be their greatest trauma.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter, like she's saying, like it doesn't, because I think Isolde says something like, well, I don't know why I'm telling you this. You've lived for hundreds of years and I've only lived this lifetime that I can remember.
Yeah, right.
And she's like, it doesn't matter.
If
your soul is tired, you're tired. Like, and that's okay.
Absolutely. I do love that. When it was handled about trauma and talking about that and grief, it was handled well. I just wish that, I understand there's probably a delicate balance because it's, you probably don't want to like bring the book down by constantly, but like it was brought down anyways by them constantly fighting. So I would have liked to see some of those fights instead of them fighting, conversations about trauma and like PTSD,
or be productive with the arguments and make it about struggling with, you know, reconciling two parts of themselves or something.
Agreed. Totally, you know? Agreed.
Oh my God. Just speaking of like trauma, when she like hears weeping when she's in the secret library and she goes through like a passage and she finds Saphira like skin and bones, her hair has been pulled out.
Yeah.
And like, they just forgot that she was there. And
down.
I understand that she was like, I understand she was kind of a bitch, but she didn't deserve to be thrown into
a jail cell and like rot in her own filth. I was like, okay, this came out of nowhere. This is an escalation that is not necessary.
She takes her out and she's like, oh, we forgot about you.
Like, But then, oh my God.
It's like she was there for a month.
She's like, okay, anyways, come with me. Be my spy. Not
be
like,
my
oh
spy.
My,
like, what?
And Severa's like, do you trust me? And she's like, oh, absolutely not. No. And don't tell Adrian. I'm like, this is dysfunctional.
This is so dysfunctional.
And then she's never brought up again. Nope, never.
Like, what was the purpose?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh my God.
I don't understand it.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so speaking of the secret library, that was actually cool. And I...
That was interesting.
Interesting, and I wanted to know more.
Yeah.
I wanted to know more about this.
Okay, I did think that the whole containment spell thing was super rushed.
Very rushed. I wanted more magic.
It wasn't at all fleshed out. Like...
Yeah.
Is it Violetta or Violetta?
Violetta. I was saying Violetta.
Okay, Violetta. Okay. Her ancestors are a witch. And so, like, she just... It was all very, like, I don't know. I did not feel like that part was written well. It was super quick. It happened in, like, 2 days.
Yeah, like, when Anna brings her down there, I was like, okay. This is the turning point.
Yeah.
And we're going to start learning more about, like, the history of the witches. We've got all these spell books now.
Mm-hmm.
Isolde's going to start unlocking parts of herself that were Yesenia, and she's going to get in touch with her magic.
Yep.
And instead, we just get this, hey, I want a containment spell. Great, we found one. We need a third witch. Cool, Violetta, you want to do this? Let's go. Let's go to the lake. And we all get beaten up.
Like, it literally happened that fast.
That's what happened.
And it was truly just, it was so rushed. And I was like, okay, hold on, wait, like, what are we doing? Like, she has one conversation with Violetta, and she's like, okay, let me know. And then, like, they're doing it the next day. And I'm like, okay, hold on. Wait. Like, y'all,
this is... The full moon's tomorrow, so kind of need your answer.
And she's never practiced magic before, I don't think. I think...
No. Right? It just, it's, like, runs in her family. Like, she has a history of...
But, like, yeah, that's, like, saying... I mean, this is obviously magic. Yeah, it's
ridiculous. Blood. Yeah.
I just was like, okay, this all was super rushed. Again, take out some freaking fighting scenes between Adrian and Isolde and put in... Flesh some of this stuff this out. Expand upon this. This is super interesting. This whole library of all of these texts of really interesting things, and it was like barely a part of
the story. It would have
been
really cool to see. I guess it would have been kind of cool if, like, Isolde had started to read these things and maybe start getting flashbacks, because as we learn at the end, she wrote the Book of Dis, which now makes sense as why it's called the Book of Dis, because Dis was basically feeding her these spells. Uh-huh. And it would have been kind of interesting to, like, see her going through these spell books and maybe getting, like, flashbacks of, like,
yes,
feeling or darkness or something that was like...
Something. Like, I don't know, needed to see more connection. To me, I needed more connection between her and Yesenia.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, what's the point of reincarnating? Like, what's the point of her being reincarnated if we literally never talk about it?
Yeah.
It's barely talked about. The cottage and the scene with her mom is really the only two big moments where you...
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to talk about that. That was fun. Yeah.
But, like, that's really the only big moments with her being Yesenia and, like, a full flashback and, like, having these connections to her former self. But I agree. I would have loved to have seen, like, she opens a book and reads a spell and it, like, triggers something.
And, you know, she says, so I highlighted a few things in here that are history, quote unquote, of, like, Yesenia or the past.
Okay.
So here's one of them. So she says, as Yesenia, I had been a seer. I had known enough to predict my own death and leave behind a book of spells that could raise the dead. And I don't know, Anna follows up with, you once told me there were few truths in the world. I cannot pretend to know what you saw in the future, but I know what guided your decisions, and it was truth, Isolde. So the more I go back and, like, reread little snippets, the more I see Anna, like, I think trying to feed her these clues that like, you've got to remember. Like, I can't just tell you because you're not going to believe me. You're so blinded by love.
Right.
But you predicted something and you started to write this book, and the purpose of the book was to raise the dead. So now I'm thinking, like, reading this, having finished the book, I'm like, did she somehow predict, like, is she going to try and raise her coven? Like, is that going to be the way that they defeat Dis in the next book?
That was my first question when you first said that. I'm like, okay, why does she need to raise the dead, though?
Yeah.
Why? Why is that a goal of Yesenia's?
And was that something that she did, like, Dis? Who knows? Like, I mean, I know Dis was feeding her spells, but maybe she's not feeding her all the spells. Maybe.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't understand.
What is dedication? mission?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Yeah, I don't understand either. But then there was another quote later on when they're in the library, and she says, she finds a history note about, like, herself, like, her,
yes.
Yesenia.
Yes.
And
yes,
I
yes.
thought this was interesting. She doesn't know who wrote it. It was, like, a third party, like an observer. Mm-hmm. And it says, the High Coven boasts a powerful seer, though she has yet to demonstrate her gift, given that a series of misfortunes have befallen Celcerity, the city they all live in. Mm-hmm. The people have become suspicious of the woman, who shows no propriety given her earthly background. She has been known to wander away from the castle and gather herbs and flowers. Then it says, she has wild ways, though such is the manner of her matriarchal tribe. Hers is the most prominent, the Xanath. If she is any measure of the women they produce, it is evident we must act, for her defiance is a threat to the crown. So clearly it was somebody who worked for the crown. But it's really interesting because you're getting like a sense of the type, like she came from a tribe called the Xanath, which was like a matriarchal society. Mm-hmm. She's supposed to be a powerful seer, but she has yet to demonstrate her gift. Mm-hmm. And you wonder, like, what was Yesenia holding back, because she clearly did have visions.
Right.
She clearly had things.
Why was she not showing a propriety for magic and just going and gathering herbs?
Or is it alluding to like the fact that she was withholding visions? Like maybe she was having them, because we know that she does. We know she sees her own death. We know that she
I'm sure she was.
Yeah. And so was she just choosing not to because she didn't want to be used by the crown? Did she?
Probably.
Anyways, but she burns the piece of paper.
Yes. She's like, oh, nope. I don't want anything about me to ever be read. So she just burns it. And I'm like, okay, Isolde.
Which, like, what?
This is an impulsive decision, and that was
But we learn that, like, they're a tribe of women who then the next generation, I guess the men got jealous or something. There was a mutiny, it says in, like, the next page. Yeah. There was a mutiny, yes. And the men took control, and they overthrew the matriarchs, and they were exiled. Or they were murdered. They were exiled, or they were murdered. And it was 2 years after the burning. So it was after Yesenia's death that they were overthrown, like, that tribe. So yeah, I don't know if that's going to come up later, like in the next book, like if there's another line of witches from her tribe that have survived, who've secretly been practicing, who can show her the ropes, help her.
That would be interesting. That would be
Anna
interesting.
Anna says at the end, you're just afraid to wake up. You need to wake up and remember your magic.
I know, but it's like, I don't know. It's interesting.
There are things in this book that could make for a really fun final book.
Agreed.
The problem
agreed.
How we're getting there is a drag.
It's a true drag. Like, and also just like stuff is not explained well. I'm sorry, but like she just does not do a good job of properly explaining things.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Were you ever confused with the flashbacks? Because I got.
Oh, Anna, I was so annoyed. Okay, specifically when they go and they're doing the spell, they're standing in the water, they're holding hands, and like obviously the villagers come or whoever they are and like beat them. And she goes from like being beaten, and she looks over and she's like looking at Anna and looking. I don't think she sees Violet
or Violetta. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, with no notice, no italicized, no nothing, it goes to flashing back to when she's Yesenia and she comes upon Anna, who has been in this pleasure dungeon in the castle, and she's
and
been raped
like,
by
gang
all
raped.
Of these, like gang raped by all the lords of the nine houses. Not, I mean, I think that's what she says.
She says all the lords. It's like
all the lords. Okay, that's a lot of
Jesus.
Lords. And Yesenia is like, you know, comforting her, and then
it flashes back,
comes back with again, but there's no
she doesn't. I don't understand. Like, why didn't you use it italicized? Like, italicize those moments when you go back and pass at the end of the book when she like goes through the mirror and she sees that Ravenna is Anna, and she's like, oh my god, I feel betrayed. And then all of a sudden she's on the floor vomiting, and I was like, whoa, hold up, why are we vomiting? And then all of a sudden she's like, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, whoa, this is a flashback.
Yes.
It took me a paragraph to realize we were in a flashback.
I was like, wait, how is she pregnant? That's so confusing. I mean, they've been having sex constantly, but isn't she a vampire now?
Isn't
like, they
she
can't
a
have
vampire?
Babies.
I feel like we learned this in Twilight.
We did.
Paranormal vampire 101.
Can't have babies. So I agree. The flashbacks were not well done. I was very confused. And then it flashback and like Isolde's in bed. She's fine.
Yeah, waking up. Yeah.
Anna's asleep and Violetta's dead. And I'm just like, okay, that was not well explained. I was so confused. I did not like that. To me, that flashback only served a purpose to get her and Adrian in another fight. Because then she's like, how dare you? You knew about this. How could you not do something about it? He's like, why would you assume I didn't try to do something about it? I literally came to kill King Dragos.
Yeah, like I joined the King's Guard to kill him.
I obviously was probably trying to do something.
Yeah.
You twat. And she's like... Let's have sex. I was just like, what was the point of showing...
I know, it was so frustrating.
I just don't see the point in showing the whole rape thing with Anna. Mm-hmm. I didn't see what we got out of that other than an argument with Adrian, if that makes sense. I didn't really... Maybe it was to, like, back her thing of, like, all men are terrible, they should die.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, Anna definitely has issues. In one of the court meetings or whatever that they go to, mm-hmm. Anna's, like, she doesn't sit down. It makes a note that, like, Anna didn't sit down. She, like, stood by the window or something, and I can't remember what she says, and I didn't highlight it because at the time I didn't think it was important, but I did remember it, and I don't remember exactly where it is in the book, but she says something about men and how she thinks that Ravenna is out to destroy men or something. They're talking about it, and I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing or statement to make.
I remember she said that,
and as I'm like thinking back on it, that is okay. So there aren't a lot of little hints about Adrian being taken over by Dis or anything like that, but I feel like there are a little bit of hints about Anna becoming Ravenna the more I go back and look.
I agree.
I'm just very confused about the ending. I just don't understand how she is Ravenna or if Ravenna is even like real or if she was pretending or I don't understand.
Right. Are she reincarnated? Are they working together?
Yeah. Are they the same person? Or are they like working together? I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Please let us know, TBD.
Please let us know. So anyways, okay. So after they try to do this containment spell at the lake and Violetta dies, Anna is in a coma. Mm-hmm. Isolde finds this little black spell book and she like says like it has a very dark magic feel. It doesn't feel right. And it's in Anna's room. We find out later that it's like actually like Anna's spell book.
Uh-huh.
Isolde goes into her own room, which I'm so sorry. Just a little side note. It's really weird to me that Isolde and Adrian don't share a room.
Yeah, that is
They have
weird.
Their own separate sleeping quarters. Like in every other book, I understand that like historically, but this is fantasy. This is not actual reality.
I agree. I think she was trying to use like a hit, like that it would be historically accurate for people in whatever time period they're in, but like, but this is fantasy. Let them share a room.
Yeah, that was so
weird. It's constantly like, I'm gonna go to Adrian's room, he's gonna come to my room, he's not in his room, where is he, I go to my room.
It was like annoyingly confusing and unnecessary.
Just let them sleep together. Yeah. Like, why does it matter? Who cares?
Yeah, anyways, so Isolde takes it back to her room and she decides that she's gonna summon Ravenna and like contain her by herself or some shit. Yeah. And Ravenna shows up in the mirror, and this was interesting because this is like, I guess, a big reveal that we get, which we've already said. So when she finally shows up in her room, Ravenna says, Vada tore us apart, which I think Vada was the head of the witches or something. She says, Vada tore us apart. She was the one who sent us across Cordova to serve kings in their courts, all because she wanted power. That was the beginning of our end. So, Vada was an elder. She was like Vada was like the elder, I think like the head of the coven or something.
Never mentioned before, okay.
Then she says, you think Adrian wants to be free of Dis? What he really wants is to take her place. And Isolde says, what's wrong with being a god? That's not the correct answer. That's not the answer we were looking for.
What's wrong with that? Well, what do you mean what's wrong with that? He wants to be a god.
So then Ravenna says, it's not becoming one that's the problem, it's who has to die for him to get there. But you know he is dangerous, or at least you did. He is why you created the book. And Isolde says, you're lying. I know.
You're lying. She's not lying.
Nope, she's not lying. And then she disappears. And so that's like the first we've heard this like little truth bomb that you created this because of Adrian. You foresaw something and you started to create this book.
Right. Okay, but again, does that not make you question when she was like, don't fight this love. You were made for this world. Why go through all of this with him if you know what he's going to become and you made a spell book to destroy him? Is that what she said?
Like, here's the thing. There's two things that could have happened. Mm-hmm. One, she foresaw something happening in the future. Mm-hmm. Adrian would survive. She'd be reincarnated, and somehow she would need the book. And I guess it's like what I don't understand is, I guess this is part of their characters. They just don't care about the little, like the small lay person.
No, they
but it's
don't.
Like 200 years of vampires and conquering and all of this. Yeah, and is it
and
worth
killing
it?
Innocent people.
Is it worth it for you two to be together in the end?
Yeah.
Is the Book of Dis something you created to like then banish the monster from Adrian to make him whole again, to make him the Adrian you once knew? But at what cost to everybody else?
Right.
That's
exactly.
What I don't.
Yes.
Like, it's, I can't figure out.
Well, that's
out.
Like the whole theme of the book is just they don't care about anybody else but themselves. Yeah. All they care about is that they get to be together and conquering innocent people.
I mean, maybe this just goes back to like your initial comment, Kim, that they are just charcoal gray. And this is the love story we're getting. It's a fucked up love story. Like, it's just a toxic, we love each other no matter what, doesn't matter who we hurt.
Yeah. I mean,
which is a choice. If you stick with it, it's a choice.
Choices were made. Okay, so speaking of that, okay, so Soren's betrayal was like another big thing, which.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't totally shocked by it.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. We liked Soren. I feel like you could, looking back, you could kind of see little moments of that. But really, it's actually not a betrayal to Isolde. It's a betrayal to Adrian.
Yeah.
He tells her, like, I loved you.
Yes.
Like, I want you to remember that, right? Doesn't he say, like, I loved you, which is kind of weird.
He's crying. He says, yes. I'm sorry, Isolde. And she says, why? And he goes, because he has to die. Adrian will destroy us, Isolde. None of us can fight him. You have to understand. You once understood. I shook my head. The Book of Dis, he continued, you wrote those spells for him.
Yeah.
So here's what I don't get is like, the timeline doesn't make sense in my brain. Because the timeline is, she finds out she's pregnant. Like if we put all the information together.
Okay.
She and Adrian are together. Dragos wants to use her. She says no. So she... Uh-huh. By saying no to Dragos, she foresees that he's going to end up killing her, okay?
Right, okay.
She and Adrian have this horrid love affair. They love each other.
Yes.
She gets pregnant, or she finds out she's pregnant. That night, they go have their last final goodbye in the cottage. The next day, Dragos and his men rip them out of the cottage.
Uh-huh.
They beat Adrian. They rape Isolde, or Yesenia. And then they burn her at the stake. So what I don't understand is when Soren says, you have to understand, you once understood. At what point in that was she like, yes, I love him, I'm about to have his baby, but I know that I'm gonna have to destroy him? Because that is what are we missing?
So are we saying that she saw a vision of him in the future?
That's what
being
I'm saying.
Controlled by Dis?
Yes.
Because at that point he's not being controlled
that's what I think. Like, when she...
So why would you not say something to him like, hey, don't make a pact for me to come back?
Because that's what I'm saying.
Because
I think
this is
like the toxic part of the relationship. She's like, but we get to be together at the end. I will create this book. I will be able to banish Dis from you because I will raise my coven. This is like what I'm foreseeing in the third book. I will raise my coven and we will set things right and we will create balance in the world. But you're going to have to wait 200 years for me to come back. And a lot of innocent people are going to die.
A lot of innocent people are going to have their bodies staked on our palace gate.
You know,
for us to just smell and see. It's so gross. I'm like, y'all are fucking weird.
Oh my god,
I'm
like
sorry.
Such like Renaissance, you know, like medieval.
But it's just, he was like, I loved you. Like, I don't know. It's so weird to me.
I wish we had more flashbacks. Like,
yes!
They clearly had a relationship in the sense of like friendship, not like romantic.
Right, yes, right, yes.
They were important to each other. And Anna says at the end, I kept hoping you would remember.
Yes, would remember. But she did remember Anna. So I'm like, who are you talking about? What
like,
are you wanting her to remember?
Other conversations? Like, remember specific things? Because you clearly trusted Anna with the location of the library, or you trusted Anna with
other
things. So she was an important person to you, which is why, like, at the end, I actually do think Ravenna/Anna says, I've always been trying to help you. I am not trying to hurt you. We are on the same team. And Soren says it. Like, he's crying.
But the issue is that they're not. Isolde doesn't want to be on that team. She wants to be with Adrian.
She wants to be with Adrian because she can't, I think she can't remember what her purpose is. Like, she was supposed to come back and she was supposed to do something to like...
Do something.
Fix it.
But they keep saying like, we're on your side. And she's like, my side is his side. And so they're like,
isn't there some like magical spell where we can just be like, yo, wake up.
wake up and remember stuff. I would have liked to just have seen more moments of her like remembering something.
Yeah, I agree.
As Yesenia, more memories coming to the surface.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like that
would have been more interesting.
I don't know. She just doesn't remember anything. And they're like, oh, we loved you. Please remember. And she's like, what? I don't know what you're talking about.
I remember this. I love Adrian.
I love Adrian. Let's go have sex.
We're a monster together. I'm the light to his darkness. All the stars in the sky.
Oh, you are my light. You are my darkness. Like, I'm sorry. I think that's a weird thing to say. I think it's a weird thing to be like, you're my darkness. Like, okay. Whatever.
Okay.
I mean.
All right. Well. Okay. So after Soren's betrayal, he like disappears. Uh-huh. And honestly, I'm kind of glad that Soren's alive still because I actually don't think bad. Like, I don't think he's bad. I think he was trying.
He's not.
I think he's morally. This is like a perfectly morally gray moment. He is trying to do the right thing,
yes.
Which is to stop the madness and the conquering and Dis's power on their earth, their Cordova.
Agreed.
And he's like, I don't want to do this, but you won't fucking remember what you're supposed to do.
You won't remember, so you're literally leaving us no choice. Don't know what you're talking about, can't remember.
Anyways,
cool,
okay.
Cool, I'm gonna stab you.
So then after that, Dis takes over Adrian's body. He has a headache,
right.
And this is like the first moment where we're like, oh, hello, Dis. Dis has entered the chat.
Yeah, she just, yeah. Yo, who Dis?
Yo, who Dis?
I hate that name.
It's
so much.
Bad. It's so bad.
Stupid.
So
I hate it.
He takes over the body and she's like, basically like, reminds him that she has full power over him. Mm-hmm. So then after that, Isolde and Adrian are having sex. Surprise, surprise.
Of course they are. Yeah.
And they get walked in on in the bathtub.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So we find out that Lara, her home country, is under attack by Julian, the vampire who was exiled. He's turning humans into vampires. He's amassed a 1,500 person vampire army. Also, we find out that the other goddess, Asha,
right.
has
yes.
created her own version of Adrian called the Incarnate, like an incarnate.
Asha's
is what they call
incarnate.
It.
Yeah,
Asha's
yeah.
incarnate.
Uh-huh.
Which we find out later, I guess Anna used the bones of the, she used the bones of the coven to do that. So maybe the bones are useless.
Yeah, was she going to bring the high coven back with? She didn't have their bones.
Oh, well, I got to rethink that theory.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we have an Asha's incarnate. Lara's under attack. They decide to go to battle and they're on the march to Lara, and we're in the war tent, and Adrian goes full dis and attacks Isolde and almost kills her.
Yeah, like literally almost so
kills
bad.
Her. And Derek, who is so distraught over Soren's betrayal.
Yeah, he really is.
Derek interrupts and stops it and saves Isolde.
Yeah, thank God. Oh my God.
Yeah, and Adrian, like, she looks over at him and there's like pure devastation on his face. Like, he had no control. I don't blame Adrian for that. Like, that was...
No. Okay, but I will tell you, just a nitpicky thing. She uses the same line multiple times.
Oh, what is
Scarlett does. She says it's almost verbatim. She uses it, I remember it at least twice within a close proximity to each other. She's like, I couldn't describe the look on Adrian's face. If I had to, it would be devastation. She literally uses that same line multiple times.
Yes, I actually think I remember reading
and
that.
And I remember being like, you just said this. You just said this. What do you mean you can't describe it? You're
you already
describing
described it.
You're describing it as devastation. So like when you're like, I couldn't describe it. The only thing I could say is devastation.
Well, you described it.
Just say devastation. There you go. Did it.
The look of utter devastation on his face. Did it.
On his face.
Done it.
The anguish on his face.
Yeah.
The pain on his face. I just was like, okay, we can't use this line twice. Okay, you've already used it. So pick something else.
So
and
pick
also,
something
that
else.
Doesn't even make any sense because you just described it. I'm sorry. I was just like, wait, and you know I don't remember shit, okay? So for me to be like,
I love that that's what
I
you
remember
this.
It.
That's so funny.
I know. Like, that's what I remember.
That's
but I
so funny.
Remember, like, it just took me out of it because I was like, I just read this line. Like, come on. get a thesaurus out and
get
let's
a
figure
thesaurus.
This out.
So she like leaves. She and Adrian are ignoring each other after that fight moment. And she like exits the tent and she sees, have you ever seen the movie Brave, the Disney movie?
No,
the Pixar
but I've
Disney
heard it's
movie?
Very cute.
It's very cute. Yeah. But anyways, it's like, it takes place in Ireland or Scotland, sorry, not Ireland, Scotland. But there's like the Will-O-Wisps are these like little glowing orbs.
Oh, yes.
And it's
yes.
like, it just kind of reminded me of that. And she's like following them. If you see it, they make little noises in the movie. And I just kept picturing her like following the Will-O-Wisps.
Following them.
And she ends up on the lake.
Oh, it's so sweet.
It's really sweet. And...
I wanted more of this.
I know. It was so good.
You learned so much more about her. They have such like a tender, sweet, I mean, we're suckers for like a mom moment as I moms. Like we just, I know. It's so touching. But again, like it's these like vulnerable, sweet moments and you're learning information. That's important.
And she like transports and she's looking around and she's no longer, you know, in Cordova or not mm-hmm. where she's not at the lake. And she's like, where am I? And oh my God, her mother was singing like a lullaby.
Yes.
She's like, where am I? And she goes, her mother says, you're in my home. You're in Nalini.
Yes.
And
yes,
her mom says, I always dreamed of bringing you here. And she goes, and look, it has happened. Dreams are wonderful. Are they not, my daughter? And it's just, it's so sweet. But we learned some interesting things about magic.
Yes.
Her mother says, magic is not so serious. It is many things, an essence that gives everything on earth life and energy. You can harness that energy if you remain aware enough, but you have become so caught up in spells, in words, in shapes. You need none of that to call upon your power. Isolde says, but that is what I have always done. She said, no, you, no matter what incarnation, have always drawn upon the world with no effort. You only made spells to help women understand their potential when they could not feel it themselves. And she says, trust yourself, Isolde. Your soul has been speaking and you have not been listening.
Yeah.
Well, mommy knows best. We're just going to start with that.
Mommy sees right through and knows exactly what's going on. Okay, but then she gives her the seed.
Yes.
Okay.
What is the seed? I don't know.
What does that
I kept
mean?
Waiting
What's
for us to use it.
Of it?
But
we don't.
So I'm hoping that maybe we'll use it later.
I think
like maybe she'll plant it and her magic will grow.
She should use it. Yes. Yes.
Be a little literal, but okay, really quickly, her mother says something interesting. So she says, you, no matter what incarnation, have always drawn upon the world with no effort. Okay, so no matter what incarnation. When I first read that, I just was like, oh, Yesenia is old. But does that mean that she was possibly reincarnated multiple times?
Because that's what I get out of that, yeah. No matter what?
Yeah.
Like, you're saying this has happened multiple times, not just one
that's
time?
That's what I'm like wondering. Like, has this happened before? Or, I don't know. I don't want to like read too much into it, but like,
yeah,
it's,
I mean, let's,
it's
certainly not.
No, certainly not.
Maybe I shouldn't give her that much benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think she might just be saying, I think instead of saying incarnate, she should have just said, no matter who you are, no matter if you're Isolde or Yesenia, like no matter
That's
what.
Why the choice of words made me think that it meant more.
I mean, at this point, it's completely shocked? No. But, you know, we just can't. To me, it was just like, that was such a sweet moment. She gave her the seed. Nothing happens.
Nothing happens
to
the seed. And then we go back home to the tent. Not home, but we go to the tent.
Oh my God. Like this.
Kim, I remember texting you. I wish I could pull up my text message. Is right now. I was like, it was like
I
midnight
can't.
And or something. And I just texted you and I was like, okay. So they had a really big fight.
Yep.
She sees her mother at the lake. She has a bad dream. She wakes up from the bad dream where she was burning on fire and the Offhawkers were attacking people. She's real horny.
Yes, of course.
Of course,
wouldn't
naturally.
That make you horny?
Yes. Of course. Of course it would.
We would all wake up from that kind of a dream.
And I was like,
horny
she
as hell.
Is so horny. They have sex. And somehow, this orgasm that she has allows her to channel her magic or feeling. And she just ups off Adrian, walks out, and he literally is like, where are you going?
What's happening?
Where are you going? And she just walks out and just goes and becomes alpha of the Offhuckers. Like, I'm sorry, they're always going to be Offhuckers. What?
Yeah, she literally, without ever having been able to shift, just is like, I'm going to shift. I'm going to go find this. Call them to me. I'm going to fight the alpha, and I'm going to become alpha of the Offhuckers.
It literally says...
Oh, God.
It says, when it released, I would harness a different kind of strength that came with the confidence in knowing I could call to my magic and it would come. Pun intended.
Pun intended.
And she's like, as tremors shook my body.
Oh, God.
As tremors shook my body, I slowly rose from Adrian and started to leave the tent. Where are you going? He asked, a note of alarm in his voice. I'd be alarmed, too. I'd be alarmed, too.
Yes, we all would be alarmed.
And she just turns and says, I turned and looked at him over my shoulder. Oh, and he goes, I'm going to summon an army. I will meet you at the border of Lara. Okay, cool. I was
And no one is like, he's like, how are you going to do that? I'm concerned you're leaving, I think, probably naked again. And we have no idea what are you saying? What do you mean?
What happened?
Like, we just had sex, and now you're like, I'm gonna go summon an army. I'll meet just you there. Like,
so toodles. Funny. So funny. My God.
Okay, first of all, that whole thing was like, what, 3 pages?
Yeah.
Maybe?
What, the whole sex?
Of her, or
the whole thing.
The sex, the dream.
Oh, yeah.
Going.
Yeah, it literally, like, it's like one page, the next page they fight, and then she's like, I was now their queen. Okay, cool.
Yeah, Anna was like, Anna was texting me, and she was like, so that just happened all back to back, and I was like, yep.
Yep.
And she was like, okay, so we're just going with this? And I was like, uh-huh.
Yep.
Yep. And she was like, okay, cool, got it. And I was like, yep, moving on.
I said, I was like, so we're just going with this. And you were like, yeah.
Yep.
So I sent you the gif of like saying, because cool. Like, yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So we're not going to like question this.
We're just vibing.
Accept it. And I was like, uh-huh. Yep. We are just being like, this is what's happening. Cool. Anywho. And y'all, it goes off the fucking rails from there. It does not stop.
No.
It makes, oh, then she goes up to Killian and is like, yo, I want you to be my noblesse or whatever. And he's like, wait, what? You're a vampire? And she's like,
oh, yeah. That was before that. Yeah.
I'm going to bite you and you're going to be, I'm going to turn you.
He's like, I need to think about this for a second.
And she's like, oh,
like, so
fine. Okay, literally, this man, I mean, God bless Killian. Like,
I remember us last book were like, Killian sucks. We hate Killian.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, Killian rocks. Like,
he rocks. You know who he reminds me of is Kale.
He does.
So loyal.
He does.
Such like just a good guy.
Yes.
And she's like, he hesitated and I was disappointed.
What? You just asked him to become a vampire.
And he's lived his whole life, as have you, thinking that vampires are awful and evil.
Monsters.
And also, Adrian's not doing a great job of dispelling that.
To be quite honest.
Reputation.
Adrian's not winning anyone over.
And so then she's like, oh, okay, fine, let me know. Okay, listen, you need to give him 30 seconds to like process this.
Yeah.
Not only does he not know that you are now a vampire, now you want to turn him into a vampire. And he's like, oh, I gotta
think about that one.
And she's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
And then I think when they actually attack the castle, she and Killian, after she becomes queen of the
all fuckers.
Sorry, I will just never not read it that way. They go to the castle, they're attacking, they're Killian and her go off, they're like gonna go storm the castle, like, so she can take back her throne, her father's throne. And they enter, and that's where she sees like King Alaric on the throne, and he's got like a knife to Nadia, her like nursemaid, whatever.
Oh god, I hate
throat
her.
Oh my god, I just like don't like Nadia, and I don't understand why Isolde likes her. I get that she raised her, but she was kind of a bit.
Well, and every time her and Killian talk about her,
it's not with kind
she
words.
Sounds like she sounds a bitch awful. She sounds terrible. Like, she's recounting something that Nadia said to her. She's like, oh, Isolde laughs in response to like Nadia saying something terrible to her. And I'm like, clearly Scarlett is writing Nadia like that we're supposed to like have a fondness for her, and I'm like, she fucking sucks.
Yeah,
she straight up is a bitch. I'm not surprised she stabs
but
her.
Isolde is surprised.
Yes.
I'm like, Isolde, read the writing on the wall, sweetheart. Like,
literally, she's painting you a picture. She has sucked from day one.
Yeah.
What do you... it just doesn't make sense. So anyways, Nadia stabs Isolde because, I don't... whatever. She thinks she's evil.
And Alaric dies because of the blood plague with, like, the blood coming out of his eyes and whatever.
Yeah.
And now we are back to, like, kind of where we started with the ending.
Yes, okay. So Anna is Ravenna. Ravenna is Anna? I don't know.
This is the great question of the book.
Yeah.
I was trying to make it really complicated in my brain the first time I read it because I was trying to think of it. I think I was overcomplicating it because I was trying to give the benefit of the doubt that this was going to be more complicated than it is. I've said that word like 4 times.
Agreed.
Sorry, listeners.
Agreed.
I don't think Ravenna is real. It's like I almost want to go back and read book one to see if Anna and Ravenna ever are in the room, like the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I know Ravenna mostly shows up in mirrors, and then there's like a point in the woods with Ravenna and Soren and Isolde, and Anna is not there.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Anna's in the Hall of Mirrors when Ravenna shows up.
I don't think she is either. Because it's just Killian and Isolde and her dad,
which
right?
is making me think that Anna was using some kind of magic to appear as Ravenna.
Yeah, I think so.
But why? But again, I don't understand
you guys,
why
is this not explained? But literally just say, you could have Isolde being like, I don't understand. Or how are you Ravenna? And she could be like, I've been Ravenna this whole time. Ravenna's been dead for 200 years or however long it's been.
I needed to choose somebody who you knew was against you back then because I needed to get access to XYZ and I didn't want you to suspect me at first because you didn't remember who I was. You didn't remember. I just needed a couple lines of explanation.
A couple lines of just like a quick explanation of like how this works. Because, and Isolde's not questioning it either. Like, she's not like, wait, so did you reincarnate Ravenna? Are you Ravenna? Have you always been Ravenna? Like, in this, you know, obviously I know Ravenna existed back then, but like, have you been Ravenna every time I've done a spell and like pulled her up? Like, was that you?
So wait, when she's in a coma, or I'm saying that term, but like when Anna's like in a coma, passed out after the beating that she gets at the lake, that's when Isolde goes and summons Ravenna by herself in her room. Yeah. So how in is Anna? Oh, but I guess she says, I'm going to wake up like at the end of the book.
After this.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
She's like, but you're asleep. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to wake up after this. Which again, it's like, how are you doing this magic when you're in a coma? Like, explain to me how you're, it just like, y'all, it just, it's very confusing. Yeah. And I feel like this is exactly where we were at the end of book one.
Yeah.
Like exactly where we were. We were so confused. They brought up this whole reincarnation thing at the very end. It did not get explained. And to be honest, it didn't really get explained in this book either. Not really. Not super really. Well.
We're still figuring that one out.
I'm sorry. I don't think going into book three, we should still have questions from book one.
Yeah, no.
I just think that should have been answered before we could move on to like, what is this whole Anna Ravenna thing?
The only other thing that Anna says at the end of this, which I don't think we talked about in the beginning of the episode, we did quickly touch upon the fact that Dis did choose Yesenia first, right?
Right. Okay. As her choice
and
for
she,
her incarnate.
Yes. And she was feeding her spells into like, she wanted you to bring balance to the world, but men got in the way. And then she talks about, you know, so she chose to then Adrian became like her incarnate or whatever. But the only way to destroy Dis is to kill Adrian. And that's when like Isolde loses it. And she says, there has to be another way. Anna says, Adrian is Dis upon this earth. And when we were powerful, when witches ruled the world or ruled the earth, we could keep the power in check, but too many of us are asleep. And that's when Isolde says, then wake them up, Anna. And she says, look at you, one of the most powerful witches. This is Anna talking to Isolde. Anna says, look at you, one of the most powerful witches of our time, and you can barely wake up. You are so terrified. And she continues and says, you love him too much to see the truth. One day you will understand, and then we can work together to bring balance to the world. I don't understand, because then it's like, I want to think that there was something that we're missing, like a piece of the puzzle that's going to come later.
Yes, yes, agree.
But I also can't tell how much of this is just Anna wanting revenge on men and like what they did, or is this just like another vengeful plot? The first book was all revenge.
Right.
And is this all going to be revenge again? It's just kind of a tired
plot. It is.
Plot it's tiring. No, it's a plan. Like, it's not interesting.
We're going off in a different direction. Yeah. And I'm like, no, reel it back.
Because it would be interesting if the reason Anna is like, no, I really am on your side.
Yeah, yeah.
That's more interesting to me. Like, I hope that it's not Anna's just like, no, I want to destroy all men.
That's certainly what it reads like to me.
Yeah.
But then she is saying that she's on her side and she's trying to help her. Yeah, and like, Soren is saying the same thing.
Which is it?
I think them also both being the betrayers was kind of also a little bit, I don't know. I kind of wish it had been one or the other, because now there's like, it's literally just Derek and like Tanaka, that old man.
I know.
And I mean, I guess that's fine, but it was just kind of Soren, you had that like big thing, and then this at the end, I was kind of like, okay, this is a lot. Like, it's throwing these curveballs.
Like, but it's almost like Anna and Soren aren't sharing with each other, because Soren says, I'm not the traitor. I may be a traitor, but I'm not the traitor who betrayed the secret that the only way to kill Adrian is through you. He says, I did not do that.
Right.
Which means Anna is that person, because she and Ravenna apparently are one and the same. So Anna is that traitor. But so were they just not... So why wouldn't Anna and Soren be talking to each other?
Right. Why would they not be working together if they have a common goal of destroying Adrian?
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's not like one of them forgot who they were in the past or like they've been asleep for 200 years. You would think that they would be talking to each other.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're on the same team at all and they're working independently of each other, which makes no sense. Because if they've been working that, they're in like the same little inner circle, they would 100% be like picking up on what was going on. So that makes no sense to me. I don't... Also, okay, this whole pregnancy thing. How did Yesenia not foresee that she was pregnant?
I mean, that didn't bother me. I chalked that up to like almost every other like witches thing where like you can't always like you always see grass. Yeah, like you see it in shades of gray and you have to pick apart what's truth. And, you know, it all depends. It's like the butterfly effect, right? Like things can change.
Right.
And so I just kind of took that as like she just didn't see that aspect of her life. It does make her death sadder in some ways because you're like because of the cottage scene. That was a well-placed scene because we know that they wanted a family and they foresaw but they saw what they could have had. And then for Isolde to realize that it wasn't just her life that was taken, but like their future together with a family. Yeah. And now she's a vampire and she'll never have that.
Yeah, totally. It is really sad. I think there were definitely parts of this book that worked and that we enjoyed and liked reading. I think we just wish that there were more of those moments and there was less like fighting and having sex and hurting each other and fighting and hurting each other and having sex. Like, I just wish there was less of that because it just got super repetitive. But obviously we're now like have to read the third book because we have to know how this is all going to end. I pray to God that this is the last book. I need this book to be the last.
I can't do like a From Blood and
Ash. If she's going to pull a J-Law and do like a 7-book series with like a spinoff of I can't. I need you to shut it down after 3 and keep it tight.
Keep it tight.
And just
keep it tight. Keep it nice.
Keep it light. Keep it tight. Well, yeah. I mean, I need you to just get us to the end and I need some explaining. I need some exposition.
Yes.
I don't care how you do that. Yes. That's up to you.
A little less sex, a little less arguing. A
little less sex, which like coming from us, guys, means there was too much.
Too much. Too much.
Too much sex.
Stuff that just didn't work. It just didn't work. It just didn't work.
Well, and it's interesting, Anna, didn't you say that you read an article about Scarlett that like she said?
In an article, an interview, she said that like she, you know, she created like a sex positive female character, which we talked about in our first episode. Yes.
Love that.
But she says that like, you know, she wanted to use sex as like a tool for moving the plot, not just, you know, for it to be like, which it really wasn't erotic. I didn't find this to be like that smutty or honestly, I didn't even find it to be smutty or erotic.
I
found it to just be kind of like words on a page. Yeah. Sorry, but
agreed. I did not.
I didn't understand how a lot of this moved the plot. I know like she makes the one comment, like you said earlier, Kim, about Isolde says like, sex is how she coped or dealt with certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But saying one sentence does not then give you a pass to write 6 or 7 sex scenes in a book.
Agreed.
In a 350-page book.
It was so many.
When you're also trying to do a fantasy. I didn't pick a KU smutty fantasy book with like a bunch of fae.
That knows what it is and it's...
This isn't like a vampire. Yeah, that knows what it is. This is supposed to be a fantasy or paranormal book with a plot, with a story that's with complex.
With a love story.
Yeah. And the sex is actually taking me out of it because it's not actually moving the plot. It's just
a dud. I don't think it moved the plot forward at all.
Yeah.
Because it was clearly just a way for them to stop communicating with each other and to stop fighting.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, we're here again. Here we are again. I just was like, I don't really care, to be honest with you. I'm so sorry. But, you know, so on that note, that's about all we have to say about
this book. Listen, we are intrigued enough to read the next book. I know it may not sound like it, but listen, we're picking it up when it comes out.
We're picking it up. It was a quick read. If you go into it with, well, I mean, hopefully you've already read it if you're at this point in the episode. I think this is just a book series that you really have to go in and just...
Open-minded. It is what it is.
It's very, which listeners, as you know, it is very hard for me to do. And I do struggle with that. And that's partly on me because I just don't read a lot of fantasy
outside of
like... Sarah, who's my queen. And, you know, it's hard to match up to her. And
it is.
I will say. It is hard. But I think this was a series that you just got to go in, no expectations, let things just kind of
roll off your
blow
back.
By you and be like, here's what we're doing. Cool, cool, cool. And there are parts that I did enjoy. And I do think the ending, while now very confusing, when I was reading it, I was in it. It picked up enough for me to feel like it was worth it at the end.
Yeah.
Even though now looking back, none of it really makes sense. Mm-hmm. It was entertaining enough while I was reading it to be like, Okay. That wasn't like a total...
That's how you felt at the end of the first book.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it just is what it is.
We'll report back in a year. Whenever she comes out with the next one.
We'll touch base then.
We'll touch base.
So our next episode.
Oh my gosh.
So exciting.
Very exciting.
It's going to be our theories episode with Nat from That's What Nat Read. She has some of the most amazing theories, and we are so excited. And we've compiled.
Oh some my gosh.
Insane.
Insane.
The level of detail.
Yes.
That these theories go to, and it all makes sense, is
receipts wild. Are brought. Like, the evidence is there.
Facts are shown.
Yes.
It is bananas, you guys. We are, like, we keep finding them, and then you go down, like, a
oh
rabbit
hole. Oh, my God, you go down a rabbit
hole,
and you
keep finding more.
So, if you haven't already, if you have read all the SJM books, we have a theories episode out that released in, I think, February of last year, or early March mm-hmm. of 2022. Listen to that first, because
yes,
we won't be, like, rehashing theories. So these are like all new ones that we've compiled yes. over the last like 8 months. Like we've been saving some and like we've been planning yes. this. So just go listen to that one first, because that way you'll kind of understand where we're coming from or our jumping off point.
Correct. Yeah. And you won't think we're missing
it. Yeah. You won't think because listen,
we're not. Trust us.
That theories episode is one of our best ones.
It truly, I'm so proud of that episode. It's such a great episode. That's why we're so excited for this next one, because, oh my gosh, y'all, the theories.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about them. Because when we recorded our first series episode, we'd had like 2 weeks after finishing
yeah.
the first
yeah.
book. I mean, we can't give spoilers in this episode, but we right. had like 2 weeks after finishing.
Yeah.
Now we know so much more. Or
so
we
much
think
more.
We know like, so much more.
Right. I mean,
who's to
we
say?
Don't know
we don't,
much
we don't
of anything.
Know shit because
Sarah
we're not
knows
Sarah.
It all.
But
yeah. But, like, y'all, if even half of these are true, if even a couple of these are true, she is a freaking genius.
Genius.
We are so excited. So definitely stay tuned for that. That will be coming out next.
Yes.
And then probably Chain of Thorns, but who knows? We might have to do, like, a KU in between. But Chain of Thorns comes out at the end of this month. We are
very excited.
Anxious.
Nervous.
Don't know what's going to happen. A little bit nervous because this is the last book, but she wraps up well, our girl Cassie. So that'll be it. Weird side note, if anyone is following the Idaho College murders as closely as I am, please send us a DM on Flights of Fantasy podcast, because I need to have somebody to talk to about this. It's just, y'all, it's absolutely insane. Fun fact about Kim is I am like obsessed with true crime, and when I'm not reading, I am listening to true crime like podcasts, true crime videos on YouTube.
Oh my God, you're so funny. I'm so not. I like the opposite.
But it's weird. Like, I can't watch scary movies.
Oh, yeah, I can't do that either.
Violent. I can't watch Game of Thrones. I can't watch Breaking Bad. I can't watch, like, nothing with violence.
But true crime.
I know. Josh is like, that makes no sense. And I'm like, well, they're just talking about it. I'm not having to, like, watch it. They're
yeah,
just
yeah.
talking about things that have happened.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I can't watch it at all. Like, if they were going to do, like, a reenactment, like,
yeah.
that would not, I cannot do that. But anyway.
Meanwhile, like, Christine and I will watch all the Game of Thrones, and we'll
yes.
watch them, and then we'll text each other, like, heads up, a little trigger warning for this scene. You might want to leave the room.
Yeah. No, I can't handle anything with, I don't watch any, like, current shows, really, for that reason, because I just can't handle violence. But yet, I have gone down a rabbit hole with these Idaho College murders. It is insane. They've arrested a suspect, and so I've been reading the affidavit today, because of course I have.
Oh my
and,
God,
like,
Kim.
Was boring Josh with it at dinner. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. But anyways, if anybody wants to talk about that. Also, we've been getting, I know we say this all the time, but like our DMs are just.
They make
like,
us so happy. I've had so many wonderful conversations. It's so fun to meet you all. I feel like,
yeah.
I feel like we know you just from talking
yeah.
through social media.
I feel like we're friends.
I know.
Y'all are so sweet and funny. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm so starstruck that y'all answered. And we're like, no, like
we're
starstruck that y'all cared enough to even like message us. We are like no one special.
Yeah,
to us.
We're like just, who are we? Nobody.
Yeah, like why are you excited to message us? It's so funny, but like we get equally as excited
yes,
to talk to
absolutely.
Y'all because it is a lot of us. Well, that's why we started this podcast
yeah.
is because like we don't have anybody to like talk to about this
mm-hmm.
in our lives outside of obviously the three of us. It's so fun. I've been messaging with y'all about some KU romance books that I've been reading, and it really makes our day.
It
so
does.
Thank
it
you guys.
Really does.
I just want to say thank you to everyone who takes time to message us and talk to us, and like it just really makes all of this so much more fun because obviously we love talking with each other and like
yeah.
we talk all the time. and we love recording, but it is fun to talk to y'all about the books as well. Because
yes, it is. It know, really is. It brings us a lot of joy. So keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. We love it. Okay. Yes, that is it. If you are not following us already on Instagram, follow us at Flights of Fantasy Podcast and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Cheers.
Yay.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye-bye.